CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Tuesday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. We're always glad to get together every weekday afternoon at this time for about an hour as we really research the Bible. What does the Bible say about the current events? You know, there's a real movement, unfortunately, globally in the church to change the Bible to meet the culture. But that's never what we are supposed to do. God's word always should change the culture, not the culture change the Bible. And this is unfortunate because a lot of times we will get a diminished message as sometimes we'll go to church because maybe it's not popular, maybe it's not in vogue, maybe it's not even politically correct. But it doesn't matter because what does matter is what God's word says. You know, the Bible tells us that his word endures forever. And that tells me that the passing fads and those ideas that oftentimes surround our TV sets, our radios, our community may not necessarily in any way reflect God's purpose. So when we say and we pray, as Jesus taught the disciples, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, we've got to know what God's will is in order for us to do that very thing. And so in an all-inclusive mentality that we find globally, the Bible is very clear. Straight is the way, narrow the road, and few there be that find it. You see, there's a broad road going to destruction, but there's a narrow road going to heaven. I think it's interesting, if you go back several decades to some of the rock and roll songs, even Led Zeppelin knew it was a stairway to heaven. And it's also noteworthy that AC/DC said there's a highway to hell. Wow. Maybe some ministers ought to consider that in the days we live in. Joining me today, special guest we have with us, John Randall from Calvary Chapel, South OC. Hi and welcome.
Hi, Mike. Great to be here with you on this Tuesday. And hello to all our friends and CSN family. And just glad to be here and answering questions today.
Always a blessing to be with you. Look forward to answering some questions. Again, that number to call, 8888-ASK-CSN. You can be part of the program today. And again, you know, John, myself, we're not scared to answer some of the difficult questions because, again, we find this movement, John, that is trying to change the Bible and get those that believe in God's word to accept certain lifestyles, certain behaviors, certain attitudes, different philosophies as part of love in the Christian movement. Your thoughts to that?
Yeah, I would agree with that, Mike. I think it's important, as you mentioned at the very beginning, that the standard of truth has to be the word of God and not so much what the culture says, but what does God say? Because ultimately, his word endures forever. And I think it's important for us to take our direction from the inspired, inerrant, unchanging word of God. And that's what's important for us. And yes, we are to love people, but the Bible also says that we are to minister with grace and truth. And so the most loving thing that I can do in a certain situation is to share the truth in love. And I think it's important that the truth that we share is from the word of God. And I love that about CSM because that's what we do here. We seek to present the word of God. It's the truth and it's changing people's lives, Mike.
I really believe, again, John, it's so important in these days that we as Christians know what the word of God says. If you're going to a church that doesn't teach the Bible, leave. Because again, thy word I've hidden my heart that I might not sin against thee. If you don't hear God's word, you're not going to know what's pleasing to God and what's not. And then you too can adapt the philosophies of the world as, oh, this is normal behavior. Because again, very clearly the Bible says there's a way that seems right unto a man, but in the end, there's destruction. We want to be about our daddy's business. And again, to be that light, to be that salt in a world that's so very dark. 8888, Ask CSN is the number to call if you want to be part of the program today. We're going to go ahead and go to the phones. We have Karen on the line in Nevada. Hi and welcome.
Hello, pastors, and thank you for taking my call. My question is regarding Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to 23. My question is, that chapter and those verses have often been presented that a relationship with Jesus is very important, which I totally agree, but I've heard it stated that those without a relationship with Jesus will not enter into heaven. However, we have seen a thief on a cross, and those who made deathbed confessions, we've been told that they made it to heaven. So can you please give more clarity to those verses?
Sure. John, your thoughts.
Well, here we have in Matthew chapters 5 through 7, we have what is called the Sermon on the Mount. And it was a sermon that was given for the disciples of Jesus Christ. And when you get to that seventh chapter, as Karen was referring to, there in the 21st verse, here's what it says. It says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Now many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Mike, two of the words that really stand out there, one are those that do the will of God, and then the other word that stands out is those that practice evil. The ones that do the will of God are the ones that are know that they're going to be with the Lord forever. But those that practice lawlessness and yet claim to know the Lord says, I never really knew you. Because to know Jesus is to walk with Jesus. To have a commitment to Christ is to be committed to Christ. It isn't, I prayed a prayer and then I left and I never walked with the Lord again. It's, I committed my life to Jesus and I'm continuing to live for Jesus. So Mike, I think there's some people that from this text we could understand, they think they know him, but they don't live for him, they don't walk with him, and they're going to be surprised on that day when they stand before him and he says, I never knew you.
Yeah, the word practice there is speaking of lifestyle.
Right.
And I think that's really important because we all sin. We all mess up in our Christian experience. And so we know that it's not talking about things that we do wrong, and but we really don't want to do them, but we do them because of whatever reason it was at the time. It seemed like a good idea. God, I'm sorry, forgive me. First John very clearly says, but if we sin, my little children, as he starts off the chapter, we have an advocate with the Father, which is Christ Jesus. We have somebody that will plead our case before the Father and make us righteous. But what this is talking about that you're asking, Karen, is lifestyle. In other words, well, I love God. I love the idea of fire insurance, but we're going to keep shacking up because it's what I want to do. Or I'm going to keep selling drugs because, gosh, I make so much money in an hour. Everybody else has to work a week to make that much money. Well, again, it's lifestyle that we have to watch. Because does our lifestyle reflect the glory of God? Now, that doesn't mean we don't do oopsies. But I believe when we do that and we've offended somebody or somebody sees us. I remember one time I was in a body shop and I hit my thumb with a hammer. Blood squirted everywhere. And I was working on an expensive car. It was a Porsche and kind of a unique model. And I handed the bumper to one of the guys that worked with us. And I said, I got to go wash my hand off. And I turned to go to the bathroom to wash my hand. And he drops the bumper on the ground, bangs it all up. And I turned around and I cuss and swore at him. I went in the bathroom, slammed the door, and I put my hand under the water. It's running red. And I hear God's voice say, go say you're sorry. And I go, no. No, people around this body shop swear every single day. It's not just a hammer. It's a vrp, vrp, vrp hammer. It's not just a bolt. It's a blank, blank, blank bolt. And I say one thing and I got to go say I'm sorry? No. And I'll tell you, friends, I heard an icy silence from God. I said, okay. So I waited till everybody was there that heard me swear. And I said, hey, everybody, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have swore at you, John. Forgive me. And you know, I'll tell you something. I believe that did more for everybody in the shop than all the track laying or me playing Jesus music on my cassette player or any other religious thing I might have done. But by showing there's a heart when we do something wrong. But people in lifestyles don't care. People in ungodly lifestyles say, well, if they don't like it, lump it. This is what I am. This is who I'm going to be. Paul very clearly nailed a guy that was making moves on his mother-in-law in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. And he said, you guys are all sitting around rejoicing. You can tolerate this guy's sin. No, put him out. Let the devil work him over. You know, there's protection in the body of Christ. And so when it talks about this, I hope you understand there's a difference between us sinning and seeking forgiveness and what we would call willful disobedience or that practice in that word. Karen, I hope that helps.
No, both of you answered my question. I thank you for that. And I really appreciate your answers. Have a really blessed rest of your week. I really appreciate you guys.
Karen, God bless you. Stay on the line if you like. Send you out some books, some DVDs for calling in today. And again, if you need us, we're here for you. Let's go to Michael, Carson City, Nevada. Hi, welcome.
Yes. My name is Michael, and I'm from, I'm actually from Sparks, Nevada, but they pulled me up as Carson. But I wanted to get some understanding about Matthew, the 24th chapter and the 31st verse. And it talks about the loud trump call and the gathering of his elect. You know, Jesus was talking about that, and I really wanted your opinion about that.
Okay, John, your thoughts.
You know, Matthew chapter 24 has been referred to as the little apocalypse, whereas Revelation is the greater apocalypse. And here in Matthew 24, we have what is called the Olivet Discourse. And the Olivet Discourse, or this sermon from Jesus to his disciples, was based upon a few questions that they asked him. They had pointed out to him the greatness of the temple and how incredible it was. And Jesus told his disciples, you see all these things? He said, I say to you that not one stone is going to be left upon another that shall not be thrown down. And when the disciples heard Jesus talk about the temple being destroyed, they thought in their minds, that's got to be the end of the world. And so they said to Jesus, tell us, when will these things be? What will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? It's important when interpreting the Olivet Discourse to remember these are Jewish men asking Jesus about what's going to happen to their temple. And primarily, it has to do with his response to the Jewish people. So when you get down in this context and you get down into verse 29 to 31, Jesus sets it up for us, and he's talking about the second coming. He says immediately after the tribulation. So this is after the tribulation has happened. The sun's going to be darkened. The moon will not give its light. The stars are going to fall from heaven. The powers of heaven are going to be shaken. Verse 30, then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn when they see the Son of Man coming. Notice this. On the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with the sound, verse 31, of a trumpet, and they will gather together the elect from the four winds from one end of heaven to the other. So this is a reference to the second coming. Now, the church is taken, we believe, before the tribulation begins. The trumpet sounds, we are caught up to be with the Lord. And the Bible describes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that when we are caught up to be with the Lord, the only people that see the Lord are the people that are caught up to be with him, the believers in Jesus Christ. However, at the end of the tribulation period, we see him coming back on the clouds of glory, and every eye will see him. That's the second coming of Christ. And it says that the Jews, they're going to mourn. They're going to say, where did you get these scars on your hands? And he's going to say, I received them in the house of my friends. And when that happens, he's going to gather them all together. And then they're going to be judged. There's going to be a judgment that's going to take place. But this is a reference primarily to his second coming. Mike?
Amen. I can't really add anything to that. We do know that, again, there is a time which Jesus comes, Revelation tells us, at the end of the tribulation period. Now, Jesus spoke about this as well in Matthew 24. He said, unless those days were shortened, speaking of the tribulation period, there'd be no flesh saved. Why? Because man is perfectly capable of destroying himself. And this is the problem that we see with North Korea, nuclear weapons, Iran with nuclear weapons. In fact, they're scattered around the entire globe, these different countries having these kind of devices. Now, what's scary when you stop to think that man has always used every weapon he's ever made. So one of these days, that day will come. If you take God out of the scenario completely, maybe you're listening to this and you like making fun of Christians and you think, oh, let's listen to what the kooky Christians are saying today. Okay, go to your atheistic doomsday nuclear clock. And they put the world at like 1 second before midnight. That's right, friends. You can take God out of the scenario, and even those outside of the family of faith realize there is something globally wrong. Now, again, the idea of the dawning of the age of Aquarius, a song that was in the 60s, and the Beatles' Love Is All You Need, and No Heaven Above Us, No Hell Below Us, Above Us Only Sky by John Lennon. No, it's not going to be a good time on this earth. In fact, the tribulation, evidently what Jesus says there in Matthew 24, should have went longer than 7 years. But man would have completely annihilated himself. Now, the Bible says when he comes back at the end of the tribulation period, mere survival is all man is able to have. Every living thing in the sea has died. The oceans have turned to blood. All the trees, the grasses are all burnt up. Drinking water in scarce supply. The sun has been given to power to scorch men who live on the earth. You think we've got global warming now. Friends, it is nothing compared to what it's going to be during the tribulation period. Hailstones weighing almost 100 pounds, pounding the earth. What's that going to do to all your solar panels? And so when we really start looking at this, mere survival is really all man's going to have. But at the time of the rapture, it's different. In fact, Jesus talked about this, as in the days of Noah were. So shall the coming of the Son of Man be. They were eating and drinking, marrying and given in marriage until Noah entered the ark. What does that mean? There was a cataclysmic global judgment getting ready to come upon the world. Only Noah, those that knew God, knew it was coming. Friends, there is a global, worldwide judgment coming upon the world again. And those who know Jesus Christ know the conditions, the signs to look for, to know that we are in these days. Now, I believe this is so important because you have Jesus at the rapture coming to a world, eat, drink, and be merry. And yet the second coming of Christ is to redeem man from completely annihilating himself. So we find these two absolutely different events, both with Jesus. One, he's coming for his bride. The second, he comes back to reign on the earth. The rapture, we go to be with him. The second coming of Christ, he comes back to the earth to rule and reign. Michael, I hope that answers it for you.
Yes, it does. Thank you very much.
Stay on the line if you like. Send you out some books and DVDs. I'll send you out 101 Last Days Prophecies. I think you might really enjoy that. And if you need us, call us. We're here for you. Let's go to Avilmiel in Logan, Utah. Hi and welcome.
Hey, Pastor Mike. How you doing?
Good. How may we help?
I just need a prayer request because I don't want to blaspheme. Sometimes, like, my faith is like, I don't know. Sometimes, like, I don't know how to explain it, but I just have a question for you and the prayer request. And then, like, you know, just to ask for God for forgiveness if I'm blaspheming. Because, like, my question is on, like, the Psalms 73, verse 3.
Right. Psalm
7. And why does that bother you?
It is because why the wicked people prosper.
Okay, John, what do you think?
Well, Psalm 73, that is, David asked that question. It seemed, you know, from his perspective, if you read that that particular psalm, he was struggling as he was looking around, and that's part of the problem. He was looking at the wicked, and from his perspective at that point, he said, Lord, my feet almost stumbled, my steps almost slipped because I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. And he went on to say, there's no pains in their death. There's no trouble as other men. They're not plagued. They wear pride as a necklace. Violence covers them. They speak lofty. He's going on and on. It just seems like, Lord, they're not being held accountable. They're getting away with all of these things. And it just, but you got to keep reading. He said, I thought all of that. Notice this in verse 17, you get down to the end. He said, when I thought about it, it was too painful for me. Then you get to verse 17. He said, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. Yeah, it looks like they might be prospering now, and maybe perhaps they are. But listen, it's temporary. The wicked prosper temporarily, but not for eternity. And so I think for one thing for us, when we see, we need to get our eyes on the Lord. We need to make sure, you know, Paul talked about, you know, some people just look at the things that are temporary, but we look at the things that are eternal, the things that are going to last forever. And so, brother, I just want to say, Avi, how do you say it? Avi Mael? Did I say that right?
Yeah, Avi. Just call me Avi for short.
Avi,
yeah.
I like that. That works. That's a lot easier. You know, Avi, listen, if you're being discouraged, I would encourage you first and foremost, get your eyes on the Lord and not on the wicked prospering. Think about how good God has been to you. Think about your salvation. Go back and praise him for all that he's provided. And then in addition to that, I would say, brother, the fact that you're concerned about whether you've blasphemed tells me you haven't. And I would say if there is some sin, Mike said it earlier in the program, hey, confess your sins to the Lord, repent and just say, God, forgive me. And the Bible says that he is faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so, to me, Mike, it just seems like a perspective on what am I focused on? Am I focused on Jesus or am I focused on the world? The things of this world are passing away, Mike. The things that are eternal are what are ultimately going to last.
Yeah. And God's trying to cause our eyesight to be like his. You know, there's an old saying, you have your father's eyes. I pray that we do. I pray that we see things the way God sees them. Now, Avimaja, I just want to tell you that the Bible says, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as wool. Now, why does it say that? Come, let us reason. I think oftentimes in true repentance, there is the reasoning that goes on as we confess our sins. In other words, we feel sometimes that God has shorted us, or that I didn't get enough money and that's why I stole, or no one understands me and that's why I did this or did that. I think a lot of times in our confession of sin is also a confession in why we did what we did. You see, if I reason with God why I sin, then I believe God can not only forgive us, but also minister to us so we don't want to sin again. When I realize sin never does me good, it always harms me. If God can somehow convey that to me in that still small voice, I believe that gives us the strength to say, hey, wait a minute, the next time the sin presents itself or another type of sin. And I go, you know, I remember this is a cheap shortcut and God doesn't want me to do that. And I believe that is where God in his love does this. Now, when you find those that are just using God for their own means, I believe this is where the problem is. And that actually even goes back to our last callers. I hope that answers it for you.
Kind of. I don't know. Okay, will you pray for me then? Because I don't want to, like, you know, like, I I know sometimes when I don't envy. It's just like people like, you know, wicked people like don't help other people in need and they have money or whatever. But okay, well, yeah, I just pretty requested. I'm just like, I don't want to like commit a blasphemy.
Right. Well, you haven't done that because you wouldn't even be calling today if you had. Mm-hmm. People that are in a blasphemous condition towards God don't care any way, shape, or form about God. And mm-hmm. the Bible talks about reprobate minds. That's what that is. So if you've committed, okay. or anybody listening thinks they've committed the unpardonable sin, no, you haven't. Because if you're concerned about what God thinks, then God is communicating to your heart, calling you back into that deep love relationship that he has for you. That's what that is. Mm-hmm. And so you okay. wouldn't even care. John, any last thoughts? And why
yeah,
don't you
love to, pray, yeah, pray for Avi. Yeah, let me do that. Avi, Lord, we pray for you. Father, we thank you for our brother calling today. And Lord, you know what he's trying to communicate and you know what he's going through. Lord, I pray that you would help him and all of us really listening today to get our eyes on you. Lord, it's so easy to get distracted. It's so easy to look at other people. But Lord, rather than look around, you want us to look up. And I just pray that for my brother today, that he would look up and he would see you, Lord, and know that you're with him, Lord, that you're for him and not against him. And Lord, just bring clarity to his mind today, Lord, if there's any confusion. We know you're not the author of that.
Yes,
so God. Just pray, Lord, your peace upon him in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I want to send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs I think will really help you, okay?
All right. Thank you.
Stay on the line. And our friendly operators there will take everything down. We're not going to send the God Squad to your house. And I think you'll really be blessed by this. Hey, everybody, we're coming up on a break. We don't want you to go away. We're going to have a whole lot more right after this. We'll be right back.
It's so easy to politicize abortion, but the reality is there's a precious life at stake, and that little life doesn't have a voice. All that little life has is a heartbeat, and it can be heard as early as 5 weeks on ultrasound. That's where Preborn steps in. Preborn is a voice for the little ones.
They do an ultrasound, and that's when everything changed. Because when I saw my baby, and when I heard her heartbeat, that was it.
Preborn Network of Clinics offers free ultrasounds to women in crisis while showering them with God's love. This powerful combination doubles a baby's chance at life and has helped rescue over 300,000 babies. To learn more about Preborn's life-saving work, call #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN. All gifts are tax deductible.
You know, the new year is a great time to reconsider how we do things, like how to make things better in 2025. Like when it comes to the whole struggle of how to pay for your health care, people generally are not happy with the status quo. But there's good news. There's a much better option, and it's proven too. MediShare is refreshing. You can save thousands of dollars a year. Many save up to $500 a month, seriously. And you get to choose from a huge network of doctors and providers. And maybe the best part, and we know this from research on why people join MediShare, they love this. Instead of sending your money every month to a huge corporation that might fund all sorts of procedures or things you don't believe in, you're joining a faith-based network of people who actually care about each other. And like I said, that's refreshing. There is a better option. You don't have to do it the way you've always done it. You can make a change and start saving now. Here's the number. They're easy to talk to. Call 855-91-BIBLE. That's 855-91-BIBLE. 855-91-BIBLE.
Want to welcome you back to part two of Every Man Answer here on this Tuesday afternoon with John Randall from Calvary Chapel South OC down by St. Clemente. I'm your host, Mike Kessler, and we're going to go back to the phones. If you've got a question you'd like to ask us, you've been reading your Bible, come across something you don't understand, something in the worldview. Hey, listen, we need to have biblical worldview, not the way the world looks at it. 8888. Ask CSN's number to call. You can be part of the program today. And with that, we'll go to Brenda, Oregon. Hi, welcome.
Hi, Pastor Mike, Pastor John. Thanks for everything you're doing. So a lady in our Bible study sent me a post from a famous Christian fiction author, and he was asking, where is the USA in the end times? And he said, perhaps we may be identified as a Church of Philadelphia stated in Revelation 3. Wondered what your thoughts were on that.
Well, actually, when we look at the Church of Philadelphia, I believe that's the universal church that loves God in the last days. And those that were called by his name, that held fast to their faith, they didn't compromise with the world. When we went on the program, we talked about the problem today with people bending God's word to fit the culture. We can't do that. And this is what many of those early churches were doing even then. So I believe that we find not only the Church of Brotherly Love, and that's what the Church of Philadelphia means, but we also find the Church of Laodicea that I also believe is evident in today's world as well. We don't really find the United States mentioned clearly in biblical prophecy. Now, this to me is interesting. We find Europe mentioned. We find the old Roman Empire, the revamp of the ten toes, all that we find there in Daniel. We find the kings of the East. And in the Greek, the kings of the East literally means kings of the land of the rising sun. It's interesting that China, as well as Japan, had, during the Second World War, had rising suns on their flag. Japan still does. We find Russia mentioned. We find different countries mentioned very clearly in Ezekiel chapter 38. But America is not there. Now, why? Well, there's several scenarios on this, and I'll just present some of them to you. Maybe America experiences a national revival, and when the rapture comes, hey, we're all out of here. Now, I used to kind of laugh at that, but it's very possible. I think with prayer of the saints that America could wake up and get back to its godly roots. Number two, we have a series of natural catastrophes. Now, they say when San Andreas goes, it's not going to be an 8.0 earthquake. They say it's going to be major tectonic plate movement. We're talking like 21 on the Richter scale. I don't know what number it is. But they actually believe that the San Joaquin Valley could go down, and that San Joaquin Valley would be an inland ocean. That's how bad the pressure is building up against the Northwest Plate and the Pacific Plate. Now, we do know that there is going to be massive tectonic plate movement during the tribulation period. This is found in Revelation chapter 6, where after we find the guy going out conquering and to conquer the Antichrist, we find that every mountain and island moves out of its place. This is major global tectonic plate movement. So that may be a possibility that it just knocks us down. It could also mean that Yellowstone, that super volcano, would spew its heavy ash out as far as Tennessee like it did the last time that it erupted, based on the crystalline formation in the lava dust that they have found that far away, the light ash would go clear to New York and give basically us a global winter. So that is a possibility. Number three, a allied attack of Russia and China against the United States, a nuclear attack. That is also a very real scenario. Number four, it may very well be that America may break down into a civil war. Now, we definitely know the communists and the communist news networks that are out there right now, what most everybody listens to, are rabid with what's going on. You see, we were on a course to bankrupt America. You can't be $36 trillion in debt, A year ago, we were $34 trillion in debt without it completely bankrupting the United States. And then with our borders that were overran, it may very well be that America just disseminates into oblivion. Remember, the Roman Empire was never conquered. Its borders were overran. The last administration, I have some strong questions about that I don't understand, especially with the presidential pardons. Now everybody's focused upon Hunter Biden and some of the millions, some of these top officials. I am more concerned about two pardons that Joe Biden gave. Do you know what he gave pardons to? Two Chinese spies. Why would you do that? Is it that maybe he was scared that China may unveil all his dealings under the table? Is it that he was paid to release these Chinese spies? Why weren't these Chinese spies traded for American hostages? We don't know. In fact, we find so much now that we did not know about the previous administration that's now coming to light that I believe that these are problems that could lead to a civil war and the breakdown of America. I don't know. I just know that it's not clearly mentioned. John, your thoughts?
Well, I would say, listen, I want to be part of that Church of Philadelphia, the faithful church. I think that the Church of Philadelphia and Laodicea are going to run parallel to one another in these last days, and I think they are. And I just know that as close as we can be to that Church of Philadelphia, that faithful church that held fast to the Word of God, that is where we want to be, and I think it's a great example for us. And that's, Mike, I know for us in pastoring churches, that's our heart for our congregations.
Amen.
That we would keep the command, we would persevere, we would. And the blessing is if that church, as it said in Philadelphia, will keep you, the Lord said, I will keep you from the hour of trial. That word means out of the hour of trial. They were faithful and the Lord got them out of the hour of trial. That's what I'm holding out for. That rapture of the church, that trumpet sounding and the Lord calling us away. Mike, that's the church I want to be a part of, Philadelphia, in these last days.
Amen. And so to say, oh, well, the United States is the Church of Philadelphia, absolutely not. I believe that is a general term addressing the condition of the church in the last days. Now, remember, when you read scripture, you have to read it the way the Hebrews did. First, obviously, what is it saying? We have seven letters to the seven churches that were in existence, that those letters were sent out to. That's the obvious. Number two, there's the spiritual application. And I believe, again, this is what we're mostly discussing right now. And then, of course, when you read Hebrew scripture, you have the obvious, you have the spiritual application, and then you have the prophetic application. And certainly I believe, again, that as we look at the prophetic, I believe it describes not only the history of the church, the time of persecution, but it brings us up today where we have two groups. We have those that are dependent upon the Lord, and then we have, unfortunately, I think many of the health wealth groups that say, I'm self-satisfied, I have need of nothing, I use my faith words, I get what I, you know, blab it and grab it, I get what I want. And the result of that is that it's no longer Christ that lives, but it's me. My kingdom come, my will be done. And I think that's a real danger because, again, we're still on this earth, not for ourselves, but to advance the kingdom of heaven. And I believe that's what the church at Philadelphia was doing. And so, yes, I pray every church in America would identify with and the world with the Philadelphian church. However, when I look at the doctrine, when I look at the signs, oftentimes when I saw what happened with this woman pastor that belittled Trump, and I listened to what she was saying, it was so far out of biblical context. It was appalling. So, but this is the problem because people don't teach the entirety of God's word. Only the verses they like. And I believe that is where the church at Ephesus, excuse me, the church of Laodicea comes in. They teach what they like and they disregard the rest. So Does the Church of Philadelphia identify with the American Church? Not particularly or exclusively, but it identifies with all the churches in the world. But a lot of them identify with the Church of Laodicea in America as well. Hope that answers your question, Brenda.
It really does. Thank you. I took notes so I can take this back to our Bible study.
Yeah, because again, we have to understand as you go down through the history of ages, what did Jesus say? When he comes, will he find faith on the earth? Well, this is a direct reflective of the Church of Laodicea. You see, Jesus said this. He said, "Lo, the fields are white with harvest, but the laborers are few." And I really don't believe it's till you get out in the field as you're whacking away at the weeds that you wonder, where did everybody go? Why isn't everybody out here doing this? Don't they realize the world is perishing? People are going to hell? Hey, if there's anything any of us can do to light a fire under our brethren to cause them to be aware of the importance of the days we're in, we need to be it now. I tell people, if you're going to do something for God, do it now. The world is changing. People say, "Oh, Mike, you don't understand. We got a new president and everything's going to..." No. I think things will improve, but we have no guarantee what the rest of the world's going to do. Let your light shine. John, any last words?
No, I think that's a good exhortation, Mike. I love it.
Brenda, I hope that helps. Stand in line. I'll send you out some books, some DVDs. I'll send you out 101 Last Days Prophecies as well, okay?
Thank you so much.
God bless you, Brenda. If you need us, we're here for you. 8888. Ask CSN's the number to call if you want to be part of the program today. We have Cortez on the line in Grand Prairie, Texas. Hi, welcome.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for taking my call. I've been attending this church for, I want to say, going on 2 years now. And I get the pastor's heart. He wants to lead the congregation, you know, to Christ. And that's pretty much what he preaches, you know, trusting in God, trusting in Christ, and building a relationship with Christ. I don't disagree with that at all. I wholeheartedly agree with that because that's something that we all should be doing. But it's like his sermons just stop there. He doesn't teach on biblical prophecy. He doesn't preach on, you know, end times. He doesn't preach on, you know, all the demonic activity that's going on out in the world today and just making the congregation aware of what's going on. So I guess my question is, should pastors have the congregation aware of what's really going on out here in the world other than just trusting in God? Because to me, I don't feel like just trusting in God is enough. Yes, I truly agree with it, but because of where we are in the world today, I honestly believe that more than trusting God should be preached.
Well, sure, we have a lot more than John 3:16 and John 3:17. And if that's all that a church focuses upon, the Bible says we're to teach the entirety of God's word, precept upon precept, line upon line. And so really, unfortunately, many times people will just focus on salvation. And that is so important. Please don't misunderstand me. But unfortunately, because the rest of the Bible straightens people's ideas out, well, we don't want to become controversial. We want to remain in the center and just focus on this. But that isn't what the Bible teaches us. We're to preach God's word, preach the whole counsel of God's word. Your thoughts, John?
Yeah, I would agree with that. You know, I was thinking about the words of the Apostle Paul there in Acts chapter 20, where he said, "I haven't shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of the word of God." And I was just thinking, you know, you think the Bible contains over 1,500 passages referencing the second coming of Christ. That's like one out of every 25 verses. And I think what happens so often, Mike, and this is something that you hear about, is the danger and of not teaching through the Bible expositionally. Again, nothing wrong with teaching topically if that's how the Lord leads. But I think there is the need for exposition, going through the whole Bible, because that's how people understand it. When you go through the Bible, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, when you exposit the scriptures, that's the best way to learn. And of course, you're going to cover prophecy. You're going to help your people understand all of these things. And sometimes when you just teach topically, you know, this week we're going to teach a topic and we're going to be in this part of the scripture. Next week, we're going to be on the other side of the Bible teaching this topic. And the next week, but there's so much that you're missing in between. And so Cortez, I would say it is imperative to teach the entirety of the Bible, which includes prophecy. I mean, it is a book of prophecy. In fact, in Revelation 19, it says the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So it's really important that we cover all of these things. And of course, salvation is absolutely essential. But we also want to go on to maturity. There's a time to be in the milk of the word. But Mike, there's also a time to move on to the meat of the word, to yes, give them more so they can understand and actually grow and become thoroughly equipped for every good work. And that comes through expositional teaching.
So I hope that answers it for you, Cortez, because again, when we look at the importance, you know, the Bible says in the last days there's going to be a famine, not for food, not for water, but for the word of God. Mm-hmm. And again, the Bible's a whole lot bigger than John 3:16 and 3:17. And again, I believe the Bible must be relevant to its people. It must be relevant to the culture, and it must give direction for people. Because if it doesn't, then, oh yeah, I'm saved, but I believe because they don't have doctrine, they can become prey to the cults. Now, again, you may go into a cult being born again, but after they indoctrinate you thinking, oh no, I've got to join the church. I got to wear undergarments. I got to, you know, go door to door. I got to give all my money. I got to wax my dog. I got to wear orange in airports and sell flowers. All these things. There's a lot of Christians that are siphoned off because they were never taught God's word. Thy word I've hidden my heart that I might not sin against thee. Yes, we have the helmet of salvation. Paul talked about that. But there's more than just the helmet of salvation. If you don't know God's word, you have no defense. You have no offense. You don't have the sword of the spirit, man. John, any last thoughts on this? Because I think it's so important, because I have seen people that I know were born again get clobbered because they didn't know the rest of the Bible. They didn't know that there was going to be in the last days people preaching a different Jesus than the one that Paul delivered.
Right.
Another way of salvation. Well, you know, our church loves Jesus's love. And so they're all paths lead to God. I'm cool. You're cool. Cuckoo ka-choo. Well, what's the problem with that? It's a lie. Right. There's only one way, one mediator between God and man. John.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think what I'm hearing Cortez say, and I've heard this before, and in the sense that, you know, I think a lot of times folks in our churches are looking to pastors to help them understand what's going on as it relates to the scriptures, these things that are happening in our world culturally. How does the Bible, you know, speak to that? Can we help you? Can we use the word of God to speak into those things? And I'll be, you know, the last 4 years of pastoring have been unique to the 30 that I've been pastoring, in that I've had to comment on things that I never thought I would have to comment on, and even to address things. And of course, when they come up in scripture, and being able to speak into those things to provide clarity to people who are looking to spiritual leaders, help me understand this from the Bible's perspective. And I think that is the challenge and also the responsibility of being a good shepherd. How does what I'm reading right here in the scriptures apply to my life right now, and what's going on outside in the culture, as you're mentioning, the spiritual warfare? And again, as you go through the Bible, you end up covering those things. But I do think that there is a need. And sometimes we, you know, we avoid topics because, well, we don't want to, you know, somebody to be offended by this. We don't want somebody to think I'm too political. And again, I don't make it a practice to emphasize those things over and over. I go through the Bible. Right, it's right. Amazing how the Bible touches on those issues, Mike. And they're important for us.
Amen. Hope that helps, Cortez.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And just to piggyback off of what the other guy said, I can't think of his name right now,
But I'm going to be really quick, because I know other callers on the line. He mentioned something about, you know, feeding, milk, and at some point we got to get to meat. My wife had brought up an interesting topic, you know, in regards to this, because I was talking to her about it. And she said that at some point in a baby's life, you can't just feed a baby milk. At some point, you have to feed them food or they will die.
That's yes, right. Exactly. Exactly. Sure. And, you know, something real quick, because the Bible talks about the milk of the word and talks about meat and being. But you know what? It takes a little bit more to digest meat, and it takes a little bit more to chew it. And a lot of people like just pablum. They just want one, just a spoon fed to them, and that's what it is. And, you know, and if there is no conviction of God from his word, convicting people of their lifestyle and their sin in church, they'll stay in those sins. This is why, again, I mentioned it earlier. Paul writes to the church at Corinth and says, you can't have this guy lipping on his, this is a Mike paraphrase, lipping on his stepmother. Put the guy out. Well, you know, we just talk about salvation and loving each other. Well, the Bible's a whole lot bigger than that. And you know, a lot of people say, well, how's God going to judge the world someday? I got good news for you. If you've got a Bible, you got the book on how he's going to do it and why he's going to do it. So important. Stay on the line, Cordez. We'll get out to you some books, DVDs. I think they'll be very encouraging to you and maybe give you a little bit more of that balance that you're looking for. And you might look around for a church that teaches the entirety of God's word. Hope that helps, okay?
Absolutely. Thank you so much. God bless.
God bless you. Let's go to Danny in Payette, Idaho. Hi, welcome.
Hi, how are you?
Good, Danny. How can we help you?
I was hoping for some prayer and blessings over my new company. I've been in restoration on my own for the last 2 years, and I'm really feeling led to keep it Christian-based, which I don't find anywhere, especially in this industry. And I would just like some blessings and just some prayer over my company that we continue to grow and that we make it, and it allows me to help other people.
Yeah, so you like restore houses that flood and fire and stuff like that, huh?
Exactly. Water damage and mold is my specialty.
Yeah. Oh, man, you got a great slogan there. We'll clean you up, not clean you out.
I have Joel 2:25 on my slogan.
Amen. John, your thoughts. And we do want to pray for you.
Yeah, I want to commend you. You know, I love that passage in Joel, because it says, I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten. It's a very special passage, even in my own life, for another reason, another time I could share that. But I love that. And I love that you're wanting your company to represent the Lord. How do you say your first name? Did you say Danny?
Danny, yes.
Danny, all right. Well, Danny, we'd love to pray for you today that the Lord would guide and direct you as you put him first. And Mike, should we pray?
Yeah, go ahead, John. We'll all agree in prayer.
All right. Father, we do lift up our sister to you, Danny. We just thank you for her heart, Lord, even taking the passage of scripture as the foundation to restore, Lord, what has been consumed. And I pray that you would guide, direct her. Lord, you provide the necessary clients, Lord, for her to make ends meet. And Lord, that she wants to be a blessing to other people. And so, Lord, yes, I just pray that she would represent you well in her community, and that, Lord, she would be used powerfully by you and those that work with her and work for her, Father. We ask this together in Jesus' name. Amen.
You know, I believe that, Danny, when you make God your business partner, that's always going to be a good, good thing. And I also believe that, you know, what Proverbs says, that God holds the knowledge to witty inventions. And I find a lot of times people, as they start a business, you may feel that God may be trying to expand your business in different areas. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. Now, you don't want to be spread too thin. But I find that, you know, for people that go into business, it's not bad to have your fingers in several pies, because that way, if one doesn't work, the other ones will. And I think it's really a good idea to let people know what you're there and again, that ethic that you have. And it's really a blessing to help people. You know, people that have had a house fire, well, they're devastated. They're living oftentimes with relatives or out of a motel. And so anybody that comes along and tries to bless, restore, and heal, man, I'll tell you, that's some good news. Well, we're out of time, Danny. Stay online, send you out some books and DVDs. Hey, thanks, John, for being on.
God bless you, Mike.
Look forward to being back with you. Until then, may the Lord keep you in his love. If you didn't get on today, please call us back. We'll put you on first thing tomorrow. So until then, may the Lord keep you in his love. Keep looking up. Our redemption draws nigh.
To find out more about this ministry or to receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man an Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.